In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Happy Lent.
Happy Lent.
No, I mean it. Happy Lent.
Happy Lent.
Happy Lent.
There is something happy about Lent that we forget, and I am going to remind you of it today. Because, Almighty God, you know that we have no power in ourselves to help ourselves. This is one of the more brilliant colics composed by Thomas Cranmer, or known to him, included in the prayer books from the 16th century, and it remains true today. When I think of the gospel passage and confrontation of evil and sadness, the tragedy that struck the people coming to Jesus for an answer, why? In those two instances, the evil perpetrated by human Pilate, and then the earthquake or the natural disaster that prompted a tower to fall and crush people, natural tragedy. When I think of those two aspects and the response of the people following Jesus for an answer, we see this colic speaking to both those conditions. Keep us both outwardly in our bodies and inwardly in our souls, that we may be defended from all adversities which may happen to the body and from all evil thoughts which may assault and hurt the soul. Jesus speaks to those people coming to him who basically wanted to know whom to blame. Who caused this to happen? Who's at fault for this? Who should be punished for it? Now, you would be forgiven if, by looking at the news, you would think that's all Christians ever do, figuring out who's to blame and get angry with them and miserable about it. Some people think that we're a bunch of miserable, judgy people. Who's at fault? Let's find out who it is, regardless of what side they're on, and blame them for all of the things that are not going well for me and mine. Whether that's my body, whether that's events around the world, or whether it's natural tragedies that are occurring with relative frequency. Jesus will have none of it. Jesus has no interest in those people who want to find blame. He tells them to repent, that is, to rethink everything. The whole ground and framework for their understanding of the universe is wrong, and we are going to change it. He completely undermines that general idea that they have, that somehow these tragedies are meaningless, and he wants to change their point of view about it. Almighty God, you know that we have no power in ourselves to help ourselves. Imagine if you didn't have an Almighty God. Imagine for a moment that you were an atheist or a Epicurean kind of person that wants to increase your pleasure. And God is maybe irrelevant. Think about what that might mean. You're David, and you're all on your own, David. And what a miserable universe that would be. Tom. Meg. Larry, Lynn, Michelle Leslie. If you're an atheist, you're on your own. The sum total of your life is considered to be part and parcel of your cellular structure. Now, you can make a good life, I guess, and I would not condemn any of those who are that way, but I'm happy and joyous that it's not just up to me. That at the end, I'm just left with myself and my own devices. What a bleak life that must be. If I've got my 80-some years on this planet, and that's what I get, and I should really enjoy myself, you know? I should. But it's not up to me, and I'm not alone. You're not alone. So when the tower falls, when the evil happens, when the body fails us, when life gets in the way, and tragedy comes, you're not alone. And it's not just up to you. It's not just up to me. And that should be no small amount of joy. That should make Christians happy. We are not miserable people. Which is why I want a happy land. Now, I know happiness is superficial, but let's, you know what I mean, a little bit more than that. Because in the gospel stories, especially in Luke, there's always this joy that surfaces whenever someone repents. Next week, we have that wonderful story of prodigal son. And there's a party going on. There's always a celebration around this reframing of our life from absolute tragedy to wonder. To wonder, to the power to wonder again. The wonderful passage, right? Moses trying to figure out, alright, who am I going to say you sent me? I want to know why. And so all we get is the mysterious statement, I am what I am, I will be what I will be. And we look into the blankness of whatever befalls us in front of us and around us, and we are with the I am in that moment. And though we may be by ourselves, we are never alone. And though in the moment of pirates, murderous rage, or walls falling unannounced, somehow underneath the sadness is a joy. And maybe it takes the spiritual work of Lent to excavate the joy. But I want us to be not a miserable bunch of offenders, but a beautiful people who are looking to find and rejoice. And that's a little bit of work. Joy is work. And I just want it. Now, Paul's a bit of an idiot here in his Corinthians passage. And he's not that he's the idiot, but people use him for idiot purposes. So dear Ed, don't worry, my son. God didn't give you any trouble that he didn't give you a chance to get out of. Don't you worry about that, Ed. Don't worry about that back. That little spot of cancer somewhere, David. No. That passage from Corinthians is so misused, right? In order to make us don't worry, be happy. I don't buy it, because that does make me miserable. When it's misused like that to do a quick fix. Now, one might want to talk about the gender issues here with the way in which we preach that. Because guys, I've been reminded, like to fix it. And our notion about how to get through life is just, don't worry, we'll make it, I'll come up with an idea, and, you know, you're sad here, well, let's just go do this and fix it for you. You know, that's why I would never be a therapist. I'm notoriously bad at that. I would just say, Devin, here, take 2 aspirin, work out, you know, go see a therapist for 6 weeks, and you'll be fine. Don't worry about that little thing. And it'll be fine. No, so men maybe, and it's really unfair, but it could be, I think it's partly true, we just want to get things fixed. And sometimes paper all over and don't really get out of what's really going on and listen to it and give it space. We are called to be joyful Christians, not in a fake way, but so that we can sit to other people who had a wall fall on them, who had a miserable, evil thing befall them, so that we can remind them they're not alone. You have a call that when shit happens, you can be present to them and say, that's not all there is. And I've got something for you, and it's called Jesus Christ. and he is with you to the end of the ages. And that's not all you are. You are not all the worst stuff that can happen to you. I am with you to the end of the ages. Stop looking for blame. It won't help. It will make you miserable. Is it you? Is it me? Is it them? Is it God? There is no answer there except, I am with you. And you are called to that specific joyful occupation of sitting next to someone who had a roof on. You've sat next to me when all I had was tears. Who needs you to sit alongside? Somebody. Many. And the only way you can do that with any authority is with some sense of joy that Christ is with you. Now, if you don't have in your heart right now a sense that Jesus is with you as your companion in the way, now is a really good time to make that decision. To renew that experience and to allow for something to happen to you. How that occurs to you, that's God's work. But your request to be open to something new, some new way, God comes to you beyond the blame, beyond the shame, beyond the wall falling. Now, good time is in. So when you come up to receive communion today, and I hope you all do, it's an altar call. It's an altar call. We come up and Jesus is present. And just think about how that might be new today, or stronger today, or more vital today, or just more I am today.